Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. A disappointing result America has just endured in Columbus, Ohio. And joining me today to talk all things America and let out their frustration in all different kinds of ways is none other than Christian Rosendo and Chris Rivera. Gentlemen, how are we tonight?
Doing not that so well. After that game we just witnessed, that's not how we wanted the night to go, right? Especially on the Monday start of the week, right? But besides the game, though, I'm doing pretty well, Ivan. I'm glad you guys are doing well yourself. It's been a while since I've been on, so it should be nice to chat it up a little bit. I wish it could be about a different result, but this will do for now, I guess.
I guess it will do for now, just in that sense. And Chris, I think out of everyone, you're probably the most heated at the moment.
Yeah, I'm feeling crappy, brother. Very crappy.
That's understandable. And we'll talk about why it is that we all feel crappy tonight. A lot of things went wrong for America in this game. They were a shadow of what they demonstrated against St. Louis, and they completely just deteriorated. I think everyone is in agreement that the one person to blame here is the manager, André Jardiné. I think he got it all wrong in this game, right? I think I saw a couple of tweets asking why is it that he went out and experimented the way he did. I kind of get why he moved around the team. We had already punched our ticket into the next round. And I think maybe he was just trying to see players in different areas and maybe kind of see, okay, who's going to fit where. I don't think we're going to see Jardiné ever rotate like that in the near future again, Christian.
Yeah, they're definitely interesting lineup choice. Like you said, I understand why he did it. Us already advanced to the second round, so like there was no pressure of us actually needing to win the game in order to advance, right? So I understand why he chose this game to do it. My problem is that he did it with players that we know don't give you anything. They don't offer nothing. If you're going to experiment, do it with players that you really haven't seen much. Academy players, like me and Chris were talking about it earlier, maybe try putting Sendejas at 10, put in someone else on left back, someone from the academy. If you want to give Kevin a break, that's fine. You put someone from the academy from the right, someone we haven't seen, not players that we've seen over and over and over again, like Nestor Araujo, like Miguel Ayun, like Salvador Reyes. Like, these are players that we know they're not going to give you anything, they're not going to offer nothing new, and to put them out like they're to just get the same results over and over. It's a little frustrating. But I will definitely give this like 75% to Jardiné.
Chris, what do you think was the biggest mistake that the coach made tonight?
It's assuming, like Christian said, you know, like if we lose 4-1 with academy players out there, you don't really get mad. You're like, okay, we kind of see who's ahead, who isn't. But you put in Nestor Araujo, right, who I'm sure I could speak for the whole fan base, like, hurry up and go to Greece, you know? Like, we already know the deal. So I'm practically done. Like, go. Like you and another guy, right? Like, he'll give you one good moment, and then the whole game is awful. To me, a lot of things. It's also kind of forcing the formation. I don't know if many people are kind of noticing that, but you don't have to put Leo Suarez at the 10. I know you like him there, but you don't have to put him there. Like, if you're going to bench Henry, you know, like put Jonathan Dos Santos out there, you know, for example. Because one thing that we lacked really bad, and the first goal came from there, is from the fact that there's no one there to cover, you know, that part of the field. It's a frustrating loss from the fact that there's no bright side out of this, right? The only thing that we could say is, you know what, it was a pointless game because we're going into the next round. But obviously, you want to be first just for bragging rights, you know? Because now, because people are having this, like, I mean, you see the memes whenever a Mexican team loses and all that. Now it's like, oh, you guys aren't anything special. When for us, it's like pride, you know?
No, 100%. It's a day of shame for every Americanista out there, especially the ones who went out there to spend their hard-earned money to see an America team just fold as easily as they did. I think the biggest concern for me tonight was just how terrible we are in front of goal. Like, I get it. We scored 4 against St. Louis, but easily could have ended that game with 8-9 goals, right? If we weren't so reckless with our finishing. Today, same thing goes. Quiñones could have easily have turned the game on its head 5 minutes in with that great ball that Sendeja puts in, right? Slots at home, we're talking about a different game at home, much different America that has a much more different control. The frustrating thing about it is that these goals that you don't end up scoring eventually end up biting you and you end up conceding them. Now it's a mountain to climb. There's a lot of questionable stuff that happened tonight, right? And you guys talk about Nestor Araujo. If you look back to that first goal, not the first goal, to the second goal that we can see, which is obviously the penalty that was given. And Nestor Araujo gets caught just tracking the wrong player. Like, he purposely exposes himself. Like, he runs towards the player that you think is going to get the ball and just completely leaves space wide open. And Chava Reyes is nowhere near because he was on the counterattack. So it was just poor, something that Nestor should not be doing, because those years of experience under the European, whenever he played in Europe, whenever he played with the Mexican national team, you think someone with that caliber would at least be able to read a play much better? None. That was not the case. And that was the most frustrating thing about that in that sense. Miguel Ayun, whenever I saw America get on that left-hand side, he was always slowing down the attack. Always. There was never anything vertical from him. It was always, okay, take a touch, try to cut back, and then try to see if he can play a pass or take a shot. Nothing ever good came out of him. And then, I don't know, like, I just felt like it was a game where America just self-sabotaged and shot themselves in the foot. And, you know, credit to Columbus because they played their game. They did what they had to do. They, you know, cut down our spaces. And I mentioned this on the podcast on Friday when we had the guys from the Upper 90 podcast. And I mentioned that this was going to be an interesting game because we finally were going to go against a team that plays something similar to us, a little bit more direct. Something that we'll see from a Tigres, from a Monterrey, from those, you know, top sides in Liga MX, and we completely folded. And that is just unacceptable. And we're yet to hear what Harine says in his post-match conference, but I mean, there's really nothing that you can take away from this game, Christian, and say that there's something to kind of hold out for hope.
Yeah, no, this is definitely a post-conference where you kind of want to see some self-criticism, right? And I think this is a game where he will look back and he'll learn a few things. Like, I think Chris was mentioning it earlier in our group chat. You know, at least it happened now in the early stages and not maybe in the later rounds. If you want to talk about little bits of bright sides to this thing. And you know, it's just time to face reality that you messed up and there's just certain players that just can't start for this club. You mentioned that you just slowing down every single attack when he got a little bit of space. And he just didn't seem daring to kind of take on a defender or just start to move the ball forward. He would stop, let everyone come back from Columbus and then wait for our players too. And then at that point, the element of surprise is over. And, you know, and Columbus is well set up. They defend very well. So credit to them for doing that. But it's just like you have a player like Brian Rodriguez on the bench, who I know maybe didn't start off the season on the right foot, but he is a true left winger. And like I said before earlier, you know what Ayun is going to offer you. And why not just put up Brian Rodriguez there? Maybe hasn't gotten many opportunities this season. Maybe this was a game for him to kind of shine. Maybe offer a little bit of creativity going forward. It's just, like I said, self-criticism needs to happen from the coach. Because if it doesn't, then you start to question, okay, so is he going to be always like this after a big game? So let's just say next game we beat Chicago 4-0. Okay, and then we go back into the next round. Oh, does he want to experiment again? Is he going to be overconfident again? Because if you really notice, the two losses under his reign was because he got overconfident. You know, he got overconfident during the game against Juarez, and he put in the entire sub 20, and then we ended up losing the game here, right? And then after the 4-0 thrashing against St. Louis, he felt, okay, you know, we're advanced already, so, you know, and, you know, we should be able to handle Columbus. So let me just throw out a makeshift lineup, and let's see what they can offer. And that was the result, right? Like, this isn't, I'm no disrespect, but this isn't San Luis, right? We can't afford ourselves to be giving out results like this and trying to do experiments like this, knowing damn well that the players that you put out aren't going to offer anything much more than maybe Alcantarano will do.
Can I ask you something? Since you brought up the San Luis thing, how much fault does Baños have in signing our coach this late? Because remember, he didn't practice the preseason, right?
I don't think you
I'm not saying that as an excuse, too. I'm saying there has to be some type of impact, right? Some type of try to understand what you got, you know? So I want to know, like,
if you really haven't watched filmed on these players already, I mean, Layun isn't 19 or 20, you know what Layun can offer you. You know what I'm saying? And same thing with Chavarez. You've seen over the past like 2 years, maybe he hasn't played much, so I understand why you may want to test him out a little bit more. Him, I understand a little bit more, but even then, in the past 2 seasons, 3 seasons, he's not the same player. He's been on a downward trend every single season ever since he came over with us. So it's time, like me and you, I think all of us have said that putting an academy player at that left back position, we have two great players that are very promising and that might offer you a little bit more than what Chavarez is doing right now. You know, something, and then Nestor Araujo, come on. Like, I think we've all seen what he did last season and the first couple of examples that he's given us this season. He just isn't the man for it. And if you want to blame Emilio Lara, because he is at fault for the last two goals, but he's played out of position again. You know, we want to see him in the center back position where we think he can thrive, but we're never going to get the chance because you're still putting players like Nestor Araujo over him.
I think for me, that's the most frustrating thing about it. It's the fact that Nestor Araujo gets his chance yet again. Chris, you mentioned it, right? The fact that he's practically wrapped up going to Greece, and yet Jardinel wants to play him out again. Like, why? That's the frustrating thing about me. It's like, why experiment there? Like, I would love for him to start building a center back partnership in Israel Reyes and Cáceres and building it under the foundation that he wants to do with playing out the back and understanding exactly what it is that he's going to get from his center backs and what he wants them to do. I saw no reason as to why you put in Anis Araujo. I understand the whole Layun thing because he wants to experiment in that sense. I understand if there's some rotation, if you put Leo at the camp spot, I understand all of that's perfectly fine. But don't move the one thing that's worked for you in that center back partnership, that back line actually, which looked very good against St. Louis. Granted, St. Louis did not attack the same way that Columbus did, but it would have been a good test. And I think that's what Jardinet didn't really grasp at. This was an opportunity to test his defense, to see truly how strong of a defense this could have been. I was fine with him making, substitutions and making all these different changes from the midfield going forward, but I would have much preferably not touched the back at all. I don't know if you agree with that or if you think otherwise.
No, I agree. I think it's weird, right? Because it feels like we threw away this game. Like obviously we don't want to discredit Columbus, right? They played a very good game, and maybe with our main squad, the same thing happens because there's, let's be honest, some starters, they weren't playing good either, you know? So maybe it's a chemistry thing. Maybe it's, you know, because the one thing that stood out from the St. Louis short passes in this game, there was a lot of bad passes from Sendejas, Kevin Alvarez, Richard Sanchez, Fidalgo, like there was Layun, but there was a lot of bad passes, you know? So maybe we still lose, but it's just one of those things where, like you said, you know, let's build off of something, you know, like that defense. And like, I don't understand not starting Henry Martin, right? Unless he's like coming from an injury with the national team, right? That's the only thing, right? But in his system, you need to have Henry starting out there. And maybe you don't start Quiñones, right? Maybe you start another left winger. But to me, that was just, I don't know. There's just a lot of questionable things off of this game.
And I have to say, Quiñones was poor the whole game. Poor. I mean, sure, he grabbed himself a goal, put himself in dangerous positions, but he was very wasteful, right? And very undisciplined in the sense that, dude, you know, because you played this game so much in Atlas, you know that you have to read the line. You cannot just... I don't understand how he got caught offside twice in these dangerous opportunities. Like, this is the game he played in Atlas. He should understand. He should have already known how to read these type of situations. Like, don't... Like, you're fast enough. You don't need a head start. Like, you're gonna beat these guys in pace. And it was frustrating because... this game could have easily turned around if one of those goals got called back and Quiñones was not offside, right? And I think that, am I being a little bit critical on him? Yes, but I think for the money that we spent on him and for kind of the commotion that he's riled up and what he's already shown us, he has to be more clinical. And I got on him against the miss against Puebla, and I think to myself, I'm probably a little too hard, but he misses against St. Louis, and now he misses again against Columbus. It's like something has to change here. And he looked a shadow of himself as well without Henry. And I think it's going to be important that he has somewhat of a holding forward. If not, we're not going to see the best of Quiñones, because look what happened. He had all the responsibility today and wasn't able to do it on his own.
Let me ask you this then. Does Cabecita score those opportunities?
I don't know, maybe.
Because I asked him this because that's his competition, right? And maybe that's a good thing, right? If there's competition, it's a good thing. But let's say Cabecita starts scoring these later on and Quiñones still scoring, but he's missing a lot more. Would you sub out or take out Quiñones for a Cabecita?
Yes, I want the most clinical person out there on that pitch.
I think that in relation to last game, because I do think you're right, Ivan. I think the game does play better with the second striker, and I think me and Chris were talking about it earlier as well that we think that him and Henry just make a good thing. But I don't think Quiñones was just primarily stuck on that left wing against St. Louis. I think him and Henry played a good partnership up top with No Suarez in the back, and then you just had your fullbacks come up. That's why when Chris you were telling me at halftime that we should take Alayun and put just Dick Quiñones on the left side and put in Henry. For most of the match against St. Louis, I think I just saw them kind of partner up and just link between them and with Leo at the 10, right? I think that's the way we should have played. Maybe with different players, sure, but you know, just don't change the formation. I think that was working for us. I think that's where Quiñones feels more comfortable in there. Now, when we have Diego Valdez back, are we going to do the same thing? Are we just going to stick Quiñones primarily on that left side, or are we going to bring them back a little bit closer with Diego Valdez kind of giving them the pass, which I think can work nicely, and just have whoever the left back is, and then Kevin Alvarez just kind of run up the sides, which I think worked for us against St. Louis. And like Elmer says, don't change nothing that isn't broken.
And I understand that that's probably going to be the narrative of this, right? A lot of people are going to question why move your pieces when everything kind of fell in place against St. Louis. And look, I'm not here to defend it, but I'm here to kind of try to see if I can make people understand. We had a ticket in already to the next round. Hadine wanted an opportunity to have that preseason that Chris mentioned that he was kind of robbed of, and you know, pieces in different places where he thought might be beneficial. And I think this, yeah, if you were ever going to experiment, this was probably going to be the game. It was probably the game that you were going to lose something from. Because that's, you know, obviously no one likes to lose. But if America was to lose this 1-2-1, we probably wouldn't be as upset. We'd probably be like, okay, there are some things that we need to fix. But we understand he moved some pieces around. It's just the way you lose too. That's also important because you got humiliated out there. Like, you just completely lost, players tanked, and obviously you saw that it was because of his substitutions, because of his mistakes on implanting the game. And I honestly would have liked to see that structure, right? That you were talking about, Christian, that formation. I would have loved to see that formation stick, just different players being used, and see maybe if that's what we're going moving forward. I understand that Jardine has an important task at trying to figure out what this America side is going to look like going forward. I know it's still very, very early on in the season for us, and this is technically just our fourth game in. So I get that the expectation is very much set high, as it should be, but we also need to give some time for this man to work out some things. And granted, yes, it should not end up looking like this. You should not be losing to Juarez, and you should definitely not be losing to Columbus by that margin that you did. But I also don't want people to get too carried away and understand that, okay, if there was a game to lose 4-1, and if there was a game to experiment and go wrong, it had to be this game and this game only. Because now moving forward, I think he's kind of in a situation where he cannot put a bad foot. If not, that seat's going to get hotter and hotter as the season progresses.
Another quick question. Do you guys also feel that Richard and Fidalgo can't play with each other and maybe in this formation? Or I think both of them, just mindset wise, is go forward, right? And you see the first goal, there's just a gap there. Do you think they should be competing for one spot and then have the other side maybe be a Jonathan Dos Santos Navarra competition? Or do you think it's just bad day, bad moment, and they go?
I think that we played the wrong formation, because when we played Jonah, Richard, and Hidalgo against St. Louis, we did pretty well in the midfield, controlled the whole game. Like I'm saying, I think like Ivan, like we're all saying, this is a game of experimenting, and he just got it wrong today. It didn't work out for him, and now he knows that we can't play like this going forward. The players that we have, and I think that we're trying to mold, it's not going to work like this. But when you put Diego Valdez instead of Leo Suarez, you have Henry Julian on top, and then you have the three midfield of Richard, Fidalgo, and Jonathan, I think that could work very well. Jonathan seems to be on a good level, and I think the only competition you have there is probably Naveda with Jonathan, but I don't see Jonathan trying to give up that spot any other day. So I don't think it's a matter of them playing, they can't play with each other. It's just that I just think the formation didn't suit them. And I think Jonathan is needed, or a CDM is needed, for this, I guess, for the way he wants to play, to make it work.
Okay. So another question, right? My bad. I'm throwing too many questions, but let's just, you know, let's say, or the center back that we bring in is Cesar Montes, right? Which we could get into a little bit more, you know, but you still leave that foreigner spot. Do you save it or do you go after someone? I know the reports are you're not going after anyone as a center back and that's it. But do you think there's a position where we lack someone, maybe an extranjero, right? Left back, right? We could go after a left back, or we could get a CDM, which we talk about, right? Because a lot of the anger from the fan base was, you let go of Aquino and you have anyone to be a natural center defensive mid that you could either bring in or have in a game where you need that midfield recovery, right? We have that extra foreigner spot. Would you guys go after someone for any position? It could be center back, another center back too. It could be a left back, like you said, or center defensive mid. Or do you just leave that and kind of not handicap yourself? Because we know how this front office is when it comes to having or needing that foreigner spot.
No, I think we go with the left back. And if any of the three aren't available, if there's no, suitable replacement, then that's when you can change up the formation. But when you change up the formation, you have to understand your squad and what you have available and put them in the correct positions. Like Chris, we were mentioning earlier, like we want to see some Davis, because I think he played at the 10 at Necaxa, if I'm not mistaken. And yes, Leo Suarez had a good preseason game at the 10, and that's why everyone fell in love with him at the 10. But I think he would probably be better suited at the right. Just switch them. Just put Leo Suarez on the right and then Zendejas at 10. That's what I'm saying, though. If you don't have your good available players, what's the next best and the formation that fits the team? Because today wasn't it. I mean, you mentioned earlier, Quiñones alone is just, he couldn't get it done. And maybe that's just, you know, maybe bad night, whatever, we can toss it up to that. But also, like I said, I just think he plays better with someone next to him. I think he feels a little more free. I think he can, he likes that partnership. That's how we see him explode. We saw it work very well against St. Louis. And I think that's what we need to see going forward. But like I said, if you don't have your best available, what's the next best formation? And you fill in with those players. You can't just get your one formation and then just try to force it, like you guys said earlier. It's just not going to work. And you get results like this against better teams like Tigres, Monterrey, you know, Pachuca, whatever. But you know what
I mean. I agree with Christian. I don't think I don't think you waste that foreigner spot. If you don't need it, then don't rush into it. Because really, who's going to come in and try to fix the situation? And off the top of your head, you don't really think of anyone. So, I mean, unless you're going to find a way to bring back Guido Rodriguez, which I don't think is going to be a possibility, really none of your answers are solved in that situation. So I do think that if America is smart, you don't kind of rush into that and fall into that. So you just kind of, okay, you play your part, you do what you can. And it's not to say that this squad is not competitive, because it's very competitive. Right, and it's picked to be one of the title contending squads in Liga MX, not to mention how expensive it is already. So I think, yeah, you hold on to it, and then you kind of see where you're at, and you know, you can't panic at the situation over just one result. But of course, there is some things that call for concern. But now it's up to Jardinet to figure out what exactly is going to be the case and exactly how you utilize this team and see what he has fit and what he doesn't.
Right. But I think we all said at the beginning of the season, like, you can bring in Ronaldo, you can bring Messi, you can bring Quiñones, whatever. We know that our offense is good. We know that our midfield is good. But the world knows that the defense will always be our weak link. And we haven't addressed it just besides Kevin Alvarez, right? And we saw that's not enough. We need that other center back. We don't have two competent center backs yet in this team, and obviously that left back position is just horrendous. Like, if we're gonna play with Chava Reyes, Miguel Layun, and Luis Fuentes for the whole season, I think teams are gonna have a feast on that left hand side. So to answer Chris's question, I guess I would 1000%, no questions asked, you go for a left back, and then you try to see if you have an academy player that you can promote to kind of be a rotational player for that midfield in case one does go down.
To add to your Quiñones comment, you know, a lot of his success comes from having Julio Furch right next to him. And that's exactly what we need, Henry, right? Like, I praise Henry a lot for being able to pull his mark, kind of being a little mini Peralta. Not as good, you know, in my opinion, or at least peak-wise, but still, like, you have that guy that plays and able to pull his mark, make the other guy open, you know, or the other way around. But that's exactly what we need out of this team, right? I wouldn't even be mad if we went back to Piojo's 5-3-2, because I think they would work perfectly like that. I don't know what your guys' opinion on that is, but me personally, I wouldn't even be against it.
Like I said, it's just our left fullback or left wing back in this formation. It just wouldn't work because we don't have anyone competent to play it. You know what I mean?
I mean, someone played it in that.
Yeah, I get it, but still, though. But, like, but see, we're going back to old things, what I'm saying. We know what these players can offer, and it's just going to be the same result every single time. I honestly just lost hope I guess hope would be the right word. Just lost hope in Layun or Chava Reyes to kind of become something that we all want to see. And, you know, hopefully I'm wrong. Like, that's something I would love to be wrong on, but it's just like there's been too many examples, too many tests where it just looks like they're just not going to go back to a prime Layun or a Chava Reyes that we kind of liked when we saw him at Puebla.
So, I mean, there's some stuff to kind of think about here moving forward. And I think on a night like this, you kind of look closely to the squad and you start kind of analyzing each position. And obviously, you mentioned Christian, right? That left back spot needs addressing. That center back needs addressing. I thought Cáceres played an okay game against Puebla, and I think he did okay as well against St. Louis. You know, and obviously, he's going to have to be the starting center back against Chicago Fire. But I just want to know what it is that these players are not captivating, that, you know, they go from giving us the most spectacular game that we have seen in America jersey to then giving us this horrendous result. And you think, how do you fold and bend so easily in such a short period? Because it's such a, it's a quick turnaround. We played on Thursday, right? It's Monday. There's 3 days in a difference. You're telling me within 3 days you look like a shadow of yourself? That's
move too much.
I mean, maybe Diego Reyes was right about his comment about traveling. I don't know how far the distance was either, so I don't know. But you know what Diego Reyes...
Reason Columbus was not that far.
Yeah, it's probably his part.
You just moved too many things. Like, things didn't need moving. We'll go back to this comment over and over again.
There's no excuse.
Yeah.
It's just coaching. Yeah, I agree.
So Midwestern Troll is asking, is there a reason why Brian Rodriguez is not starting in these games? It feels like everyone but him gets a starting spot. It's a fair shot, like you mentioned, Christian, right? It's probably a game where you probably wanted to see him get those minutes. Especially with him having this MLS experience, I think it would have gone well for him. I know the minutes he had against St. Louis, I didn't think he did a poor job. So it's just,
that's what I'm saying.
It's trying to understand how to do it, right? It's trying to understand what was going through his mind and trying to understand why it is that he moved so many pieces. At the same time, understanding that this was the only time he could move all these pieces. It's a very frustrating thing, because I want to be mad and rightfully so and be like, Karinek, like, you should be punished. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, you didn't get the opportunity to look at all these players. So I understand why you rotate. I understand why you rest Henry, right? Like Gibran Araya had just tweeted out the press conference. He said Henry was the player with the most minutes last season, was coming in with the most games played because of the national team and everything like that. So yeah. I mean, it's understandable why this is the game you give Henry less time, why you kind of only bring him in when you think you need another goal. But at the same time, you kind of want to see that partnership blossom and grow and everything. And that, I get it, it's a tricky place to be at, being in Jardines seat, because then there's people like us heavily criticizing situations like this. So I'm torn between trying to be reasonable, but at the same time trying to, you know, let the fandom in me and say, you know, why disrupt so many things? But hey,
and the good thing is, it's not an elimination, right? I think we would probably, which is funny, Ivan, because you kind of brought it up before when we had the preview, and I think you could or the preview to League's Cup, right? When we were talking about how I was kind of iffy on the whole thing, kind of like, you could tell from that recording that I wasn't really sure what I was saying, you know, because part of me was saying one thing and was saying another. And now looking at it from this loss, it's kind of like, oh, good thing we didn't lose. We're not eliminated, right? Good thing this and that. Because if it is, I guess you were right. Maybe we do kind of get the seat does get hot and we get eliminated out of the group, right? Maybe we do start talking about this player needs to leave this window because the window's not closed and all that, you know. We start talking a lot of exaggeration, but a lot of extreme stuff, you know. I guess next round we just can't lose, you know. I think it's one of those things where it's like, you can't have another performance like this, because that's two now, right? Arguably. Or arguably three. I don't know how the Atlante game went, but it was a preseason game and we lost that game too. You know, so something has to change. You know, maybe like Christian was saying, don't change anything. Go with what was working and know what your rotational pieces are.
And I think he has that answer now. I don't think you can walk away from this game and not understand what went wrong, not understand. Like, now I know who I can count on, and now I know who not to play in certain situations. And I don't mind seeing an Estrada play here and there. I don't mind seeing that you can get finished. It's just do it in the right circumstances, in the right context of things. I don't know. It felt frustrating and on all aspects, being kind of in a situation where you understand why he's doing the things he's doing, but at the same time, there was no need for it. So I just, I don't know.
And you don't even want to go at Emilio Lara either, because let's be honest, but we already know he's not a right back. You know, we all know that. And then the report before the season was they're bringing in a right back because they don't want to put Emilio Lara out there. And then you make this up and it's like, whoa, what exactly is going on? Are we being lied to by reporters? Is Orbanos even said it too, though, in that interview, you know, that they're bringing in Kevin, so Emilio Lara doesn't have to play there anymore. And then you do this. Like, if they would have said, you know what, like, you and you're going to play there, or someone else from the academy, right, that's actually playing there in the academy, they put him there, I'm not mad at that. But you put in Emilio Lara, and it's like, okay, like, these goals are predictable because we've seen them a lot of times, right? He doesn't know how to mark his winger or his guy, whatever, and it's like, okay, so what do we do? Like, what are we doing? You know, like, why? I can't even be mad at Emilio Lara. I think it's just like we're kind of, like they say, we're ruining him, right? He shouldn't be playing in that position. And if he stinks at center back, then cool. You know, we move on. It's cool. There's nothing wrong with that, you know? But it's just frustrating.
And trust me, everyone shares your frustration. AP Jr. saying, I'm sorry, but Layun and Araujo got to go. Throwing in the hashtag fuera bathrooms. I don't think Baños is at fault at this one, but it just kind of seems to be the case. We got a special appearance right there of Jardine. Midwestern Cholo says, I still want to see Lara at center back. And I think a lot of us
do. We all do.
We all kind of want to understand and see where that's at, you know? But I don't know. We'll see in that case and in that regards. But I'm a little lost for words here. Obviously, the frustration is at an all time high. But and like you mentioned, if it had to be a game, it's a good thing it was this one, because there is no real consequence other than the fact that you get humiliated. But you're on to the next round. I think you have a very favorable opposition, right? You're going up against Chicago Fire, and give me a second here. I can pull up their stats.
On Friday, by the way, guys. I just don't know what time yet, but it is.
Yeah, so times have not been announced, but you're going up against
most likely Chicago at 5 Fire. For us, right? Because that's all every game been, like, around 5 Pacific. What is it? 8? Where you're at, Christian? Yeah. Well, that's not what's usually been the whole week for all these games. So I would assume that's it.
I would dare to say, yeah, probably 5 o'clock. Chicago Fire is 8th place right now in the Eastern Conference. They've not had the worst of seasons. They've been pretty bad as of late, but it looks like this season they're starting to pull things around. But like I mentioned, I still think that we've got a pretty favorable draw here. Shout out to our boy Ricardo, who is going to be torn between his MLS side and his Amor de Amores, El America.
So, I heard he's an Inter Miami fan now.
Oh, great.
Allegedly.
Well, no, he has his season tickets. That's a whole different story. But shout out to him. It's going to be called the Ricardo Clásico on Friday. So make sure to tweet it out in that sense. But look, I think it's still a favorable draw for America. You can get the job done against Chicago Fire. Like, it needs to be a must. And learn from these mistakes and learn from these situations where you think, okay, no need to rotate. I know my best starting 11. And if there's even a glimmer of hope that I can instill in you by saying this, we still have yet to have Diego Valdez play in this tournament. So that maybe possibly gives you guys a little bit of optimism going forward.
I'm excited. I really want to see Valdez on this kind of scheme that Jardine is trying to pull. So hopefully reports are saying he should be back for the Chicago game. Obviously, if it's a more serious injury, don't want to risk him. Obviously, you know, I think we all prefer him to be ready for league play rather than this cup. But if he is available, then, you know, let's put out the best 11. I think from now on, from this tournament, from this point on, we've got to play our best. I don't know if you guys agree with that.
No, yeah, I agree. There's no need to risk him in that sense. And actually, that's why he didn't play. They thought he was okay, but didn't want to risk anything, seeing as how this game really, you were only going to fight for first place. But you had already punched your ticket into the next round. So there's no need to kind of, you know, think that he was going to be a necessary piece when you, you know, didn't want to potentially risk him getting injured again.
The atmosphere is going to be very pro-America for that Chicago game.
100%. America is huge, huge fan base in Chicago.
We need to show out. So
that's a plus, right? Now we kind of get away from anti-Mexico land. Or what do they say? Columbus is where they send the national team because there's never a home field advantage over there. Yeah. Now we go into Chicago where it's going to be the closest 100% of America fans, I would assume.
No, 100%. And hopefully America fans show out there and go out there, demonstrate and captivate the whole league in that sense. So hopefully we get a good performance. We'll be talking about that more in detail as the weeks go by. If we get more details in regards to when the game is, what time. I'm assuming it's got to be played on Soldier Field. I could be wrong. But we'll have to wait and see.
That is the home of that sense. Chicago Fire?
Yeah.
No, they play in a smaller field, no?
I think they do. I thought they had moved over there to Soldier Field, but they weren't really selling tickets, so.
Well, they play right now. They were playing in the smaller one.
Mm-hmm. Were
but
they?
They were playing in the smaller one. Now, smart money, they moved that.
They were playing in SeatGeek Stadium. I think they're going to be playing in SeatGeek Stadium. All right. Well, thank you, Midwestern Cholo, for that. Which I'm assuming he's going to be there. Already? Because he said, yes, we will be there.
Just for the Leafs Cup. Okay, well, the smart thing to do is move it to the Bears Stadium because if you want to make money, you got to adjust real quick.
Definitely. But all right, gentlemen, I think we're dragging this more than it should be. I just kind of want to give you guys the floor for any last comments or questions or anything you guys want to say about this loss or about America having that, whatever it is you guys want to get off your chest, giving you the floor to do so right now.
I think time for experimenting is over. I think from here on out, you stick to one formation and then see how it works out. Stop playing players that you know aren't going to get you any results. Like you guys all said, I hope this is a good learning experience for Jardine. And just remember that this is America. It's not San Luis, no disrespect. But you are coaching and managing the biggest team in this region. So, you know, it's the time to act like it. So here we go. I think we're still in the driving seat to win the whole thing. But tonight was definitely a wake-up call, and I really hope he takes advantage of that.
For me, one thing I want to point out is one thing I like about Jardinez is that he's always consistently yelling at his players, always telling them what to do, adjusting, right? So for me, let's just say hopefully it's just an ugly game, and then next game we see something different. And just remember, you know, it's a new system, new coach, new everything, and hopefully we just see better each game and every error we make just gets fixed ASAP, you know?
I agree in that sense. AP Jr. saying with the...
This is not very PG, harsh words, brother.
For Jardine.
This is not PG,
basically,
brother.
Aventando la madre to Jardine. So... I agree, though, Chris. You know, hopefully each mistake we learn from and this coach is able to adapt. There's one thing that you guys mentioned was that with Tano, we weren't really able to do that. He was always kind of stuck on his way and never was capable of adapting. I want to see a Harina that can do that. I want to see a Harina that can get punched in the chin and take it and come back and be stronger for it. I think he understands that. You know, he was at fault for this one. He was at fault for the Juarez game. Fixed it against Puebla. All things resolved. I think in this case, you see things are going to be a lot more different going forward, not just against Chicago, but for the entirety of the League's Cup and also for the entirety of the Liga MX season. So a lot of games coming in such a short period of time for America, because remember, the league starts in about, what, 2.5 weeks, 3? So real quick turnaround for everything. So America's got to have like a quick, you know, change of pace, tempo. And I think that's why you can't really risk moving things around. So, and that's it. I just kind of want to say that I'm optimistic still about this Jardines kind of manager doing his thing and being able to lead us. Like you mentioned, Chris, I don't know if we're still top contenders to beat, to win this whole competition with that result against Columbus, but it's okay. Maybe having the limelight shine once again on Messi and shine on maybe Monterrey helps a little bit for us to develop and continue to grow and do our part and do our thing. So as long as we get to that final and we lift the trophy, regardless of what that result was against Columbus, doesn't matter, you know? So we'll see what happens in the end and we'll see what happens going forward, and should be a fun one. But all right, I just want to say thank you to everyone that came out to kind of listen to our little rant. Elmer Perez, AP Jr., Jose Sepulveda, Midwestern Cholo. Thank you guys, all of you guys listening. All of you guys that are listening right now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, kind of listening to our thoughts, and hopefully you guys sharing some of our frustration, and that way we're not all just in one boat. We'll be back this week again to talk more America. We'll get you guys ready for the game against Chicago Fire. We'll get you guys caught up with everything. Maybe we'll reminisce a little bit about Cuauhtemoc Blanco and his time there, and all the good things he did for that city. But without further ado, America into the next round. And Pablo Pardo as well. He was on the call today.
He was commentating. So, yeah, he was.
Bro, I really love the Apple TV commentators more than Tuesday.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I enjoyed listening to him.
I would love Pablo Pardo to have a role in America because he is such a smart man. And when you hear him talk about the game and what is being played, he understands it to a T. And the way he analyzes and breaks things down, amazing. You can tell that man is smart in all aspects of the game. So, Pablo Pardo, if you're listening to this, we vote for you to take Baño's job if that's the case. Well, without further ado, I think that's it. Look. Take a night's rest, sleep it over, go to work tomorrow, everybody, and just kind of relax, see what happens. And, we'll just go from there. Hopefully America is capable of bouncing back and getting the job done against Chicago Fire. Without further ado, thank you guys. Thank you, Christian. Thank you, Chris, for taking the time to rant a little bit, talk America. We'll be back and hopefully with a much, much better tone. There you go. It's an amazing picture of AJ right there with his muscles.
Oh, man, AJ, miss him, man.
He's going to hate him. Right,
yeah. Yeah. Hope he doesn't. All right, man. You guys have a wonderful time. You guys have a wonderful night. Take care. And as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.